Well, I'm speaking this afternoon to Chuck Cohen. Chuck is visiting us in the Highlands here as part of a tour he's doing with Christian Friends of Israel. Tell us, where have you been this last week?
This last week we've been to Perth, and then to Elgin and Skye, and now I'm here in Inverness. And that's quite a ways from Jerusalem, where I live.
Okay, yes. You've been in Jerusalem since
1989. And we've lived in the outskirts of Jerusalem, in Gilo, southern suburb, and wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Have a wife and two sons. One son is in the army, the other son's gotten out of the army, and we love it there. It's home.
Home originally was New York, Chuck?
Originally, New York City.
Yeah. And from a hippie background?
A hippie background. I was born and raised, I was born Jewish, raised very secular, and became a hippie, or moved into the hippie movement in the late 60s, early 70s, and found the Lord when I met my wife, and she was a hippie too, and we hippied together, and then we ran into her sister and brother-in-law, who were Southern Baptists, and they prayed for us, and they provoked this Jew to jealousy. And just like it talks about in Romans 11, that one of the reasons Gentiles get saved is to provoke Jews to jealousy. They did that by loving me, and I wanted what they had. And one day I challenged God to prove to me if Jesus was Messiah, and by the next morning he did, and I knew that God loved me.
Right, so by a revelation you accepted Yeshua, Jesus, as your Messiah.
Yeah.
And then I guess from your Jewish background you would have researched the Tanakh. And
actually, no. It was very little. I became much more, I understood much more about being Jewish after I got saved than before. And so then being Jewish caused me to read the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God gave me a deep love for the Word of God right from the very beginning. I think I read through the whole Bible within the first 6 months of being saved, and then kept on reading and reading and reading and reading. To this day, I still make sure that it's the very first thing I do when I get up in the morning, even before I get out of the house. If I have an early morning prayer meeting, I get up super early just to make sure I read the Bible.
Right. Along that way, you must have at some point discovered that some of the things you believed as a conviction from the Word of God is maybe not believed by some of the church.
Yeah. That didn't occur till after I got involved in a Messianic Jewish congregation down in Fort Lauderdale. And then I began to understand a little bit about replacement theology or supersessionism. Not a biblical idea, that when the Jews rejected Jesus, that God then turned all the blessings over to a new people who were the church, because they believed in Jesus. And then the church had all the blessings, and the Jews basically got stuck with all the curses. And the only way a Jew can be part of anything that had to do with God was by converting and becoming basically a Gentile Christian, not even being able to keep his Judaism. And this is just so false to the Bible, because first of all, the Jews didn't reject Jesus in total. Otherwise, who are we talking about in the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts? The whole early body of believers were all Jewish. The problem back then wasn't with the Jews rejecting Jesus. The problem back then for the early church was, what do we do with these Gentiles who are accepting Jesus? Do they need to get circumcised? Do they need to follow the laws of Moses? That was the big problem then. And so some Gentile Christians tend to forget that it wasn't for the early Messianic Jewish congregation, they wouldn't know anything about the gospel. And then Paul's very clear about it in Romans 11, has God forsaken his people? God forbid. I mean, how much clearer can you be? So I didn't understand that, but it seemed that there was a lot of pagan influence that started coming in, and a lot of people were reading into the church, into the Bible, as opposed to reading the Bible. And so it's just not a true doctrine. It's actually a deception of the enemy, because replacement theology, bottom line, is blasphemy. It's saying something about God that he did something which he promised never to do. God has promised that as long as there's a sun in the sky and stars and moon out at night, Israel remains a nation before me forever. Jeremiah 31, the very end of the chapter. God's promised that he's made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants forever, including giving us the land. Even Balaam, the false prophet, says God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And then he starts talking about God's blessings to Israel. How can a church proclaim to believe in the God of the Bible and then blaspheme and say he lied and he changed his mind because he didn't know the Jews would reject his son? What kind of God is that? Not the kind of God I want to believe in.
You would say that God is faithful to his promises throughout the generations.
He's faithful to his promises, yes. That doesn't mean every single Jew is saved. I don't believe there's any salvation for anyone except coming to know who Yeshua, the Lamb of God, is. Okay? But to say that God's rejected the Jewish people as the chosen people and put the church in its place, it just doesn't line up with the Bible, either the Old or the New Testament.
So, fast forward now, Chuck. You've been living in Israel for quite some years now with your family, with your sons there. How do you see what's going on in Israel, what's going on in the world, fitting in with the Word of God, the prophetic Word, the yet-to-be-fulfilled Word?
Mm-hmm. God's right now in the middle of, in the process of fulfilling his end-time Word. And just like at the time of Yeshua's first coming, there were hundreds of prophecies that came to pass literally. So now, just before his second coming, there are hundreds of prophecies coming to pass literally. Everything from the return of the Jews to the Promised Land to getting Jerusalem back. We've just passed Jerusalem's 40th anniversary of no longer being trodden down by the Gentiles, to Jewish people coming to know Yeshua as Messiah. All of these are a fulfillment of prophecy. To the nations not liking what God's doing in restoring Israel, to the nations gathering against Jerusalem. We see all of this happening right now. And what we need to do is we need to have that same spirit as Daniel had. When Daniel saw that the 70 years were up, as opposed to throwing a praise party or preaching about it, he set himself to intercession. God said, after 70 years I'm going to restore my people. Daniel saw the time was almost up. He prayed for God to do what he said. That's what we need to do now. We see that God says he's going to bring the Jewish people home. We need to be praying for God to bring the Jewish people home. God said he's going to save us on the mountains of Israel. We need to pray for God to save us on the mountains of Israel. We don't have to pray for all the nations to come against Israel. That's happening whether we pray for it or not. But we need to pray for these things that go toward God's glory, God's kingdom purposes.
Right. So has this been part of, perhaps the main part of your message as you've traveled around, calling the church to recognize what God is doing and to pray into that?
Absolutely. He's called us to a kind of a watchman ministry and told us to watch what he's doing in Israel, to watch over his word and fulfill it, and that's what I'm proclaiming in the nations. So I'm doing that, but I'm giving them a foundation, whether it's in Ezekiel 36 or Genesis 12 or Romans 11, so that there's a footprint in the Bible for people to see what's happening now. Yeah. Zechariah 12 is very, very real today with all the nations coming against Jerusalem. I mean, we just saw an evidence of that a couple of days ago when Jerusalem had its 40th anniversary, and most embassies and most nations wouldn't send representatives. You know? They just are not willing to recognize that Jerusalem belongs to the nation of Israel.
Right. So you see in all of that, the Word of God, as Peter said, this is that spoken of by the prophet.
Yeah. It's in the process of coming to pass. There are some things that we can see clearly, and there are other things we still have to wait for the fullness of how they come to pass in detail.
And as part of your ministry, I think you produce a newsletter to inform us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we produce a newsletter called Watchmen from Jerusalem. And that can be gotten either by email or by regular mail. And we have a website because I'm part of Intercessors for Israel. And the website is www.ifij, Intercessors for Israel Jerusalem, ifij.org. And people can sign up on there and they can get some weekly prayer points because we have a prayer meeting in Jerusalem every week and we send out what we feel the Spirit of God's led us to pray, and they can sign up for my newsletter or some of the other brothers' newsletters there. And And if people need to get the newsletter via regular mail, then maybe if they could contact you, Colin, you could pass their name on to us.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. Thanks, Chuck. And we're speaking now in May. You're back in Scotland in June?
Back in June with the other brothers for the prayer conference in right outside of Huntly in LL's base in Scotland, Blairmore House.
And that's now becoming an annual fixture?
This is our fourth year.
Yeah.
So at this point, until the Lord stops us, I think it's becoming an annual fixture.
Okay, and that's a week of intercession for Israel.
Yeah, and then the Saturday is a free day of teaching. So even if people don't come to the whole week, they can come on that Saturday. And they can find that information on that by calling over there to Blairmore House.
Yeah. So thanks again, Chuck.
You're welcome,
bless
Colin.
You in all you're doing. We trust that you'll have sowed some seeds as you've spoken to us in the Highlands and elsewhere.
Good.
And I look forward to having you back in Scotland in June.
Thank you, Colin. Shalom, and shalom to everybody listening.